This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it? We're back on truthmeets.com. Joel, he's done an amazing job. And I know what an amazing job that guy's done. Now, I've seen the photos. He has, what looked like a Rubik's Cube smashed to pieces into quarters, into eighths, to have to reassemble and put all those chords together like, Joel, you are good at what you do. And it took him a while, and I said to him, dude, I am in no hurry, man. Whatever you got to do. There was no impatience from my end. There were a lot of people getting going, what's happening? But now, Joel reassembled his, and I've seen and carried some of his equipment up Rollo's 45-degree driveway in the treehouse. Back in, 7 years ago. Incredible amount of equipment that guy's got. The best stuff ever. Be told. You're on Be Told. The first show possibly recorded since it's been down for a while on June the 7th. Number seven, Dave J. A good date. Now, I'm not sure what number this is because I did possibly four shows that you have not heard, but it's around 67-ish or 68, whatever. I'll be told on truthmeets.com. And I imagine I've got a new set of headphones in. Am I buzzing? Who would know? But I'm buzzing to know that Joel set us back up. And just by coincidence, If these other shows get removed, you would hear me going on about how disappointed I was with Fakeologist site back in, it was to do with the chemtrail debate, or I call it sky fuckery. You know, the people denying the stuff and telling me what's going on over my head when they live in a city in a country nowhere near me, miles and thousands of miles away. I saw the stuff. Once I realized what it was, that it was not normal, I've been on about it. We won't be talking about that too much tonight. Sunday, I've been working all weekend for another Chinese. Did I talk about it in the last show that you haven't heard? I started painting a giant, huge, two-story house in Port Macquarie for a Chinese Malaysian lady, Edna, Evil Edna. I shouldn't say that, but there is a character out there called Evil Edna. And I suggest it comes from the goodies. Whoever that Evil Edna was, did they get their name from the goodies? The hilarious book, one of their books I've got, and their evil cleaning lady that was conspiring to have them all jailed. Her name was Edna Toll, T-O-L-E. And it's so funny. It is a hilarious book. The goodies are 10 out of 10, 12 out of 10. But yeah, no, I went back on to Fakeologist a few weeks ago. Oh, well, no problem whatsoever. The shows get released. I was happy, no problem. And then last night I was talking to Frank and Derek. No, I was talking to Ab first, then Frank popped in and Derek. And then out of the blue, we were talking about data centers and the great story that's going on left, right, and center about these things, which are a real thing. And it feeds them the technocracy, which is coming, which guys like me that have been into this shit for 40 fucking 2 or 3 or 4 years have been warning and warning and warning about what's coming. And so we're kind of been getting harassed, you know, called lunatics and people, you know, aspersions, you crazy conspiracy theorist, Fruit Loop. I got that all the time on Facebook. They were jokingly saying that Fruit Loop, particularly when I was mentioning things on in the sky. These fuckwits are just beyond redemption. I've got no time for them. So when I'm on a site, which is what I consider to be, I can talk about stuff. Although that subject particularly, I don't really do on, because there's a very straight, Ab's very, very suspicious about this. It's him, Tim Osman. They will not let you, and not only do they not let you talk about him, but they ridicule you for your, what you're seeing. Very bad move in my case, towards me anyway. Some people might put up with it, but I do not. Anyway, last night we were talking about what is a thing that you can see, AI, and the coming dramas we're going to see for certain people, and possibly everybody, and the coming technocracy. Now, all of a sudden, he decided to say, what are you scared of? What's the problem here? And I was like, what? I've been going on about the coming technocracy and stuff for 40-something years, and all of a sudden, I'm on a site where I thought I could talk about this without being ridiculed. I was getting told, what was the one thing that really fucking set me off? Who are they? Who are they, he said, these people that you're scared of? And I'm like, scared? No, I'm concerned. And Frank was the same, and same was Derek. And he wouldn't let it go. And I fucking gave it to him with both barrels about this, because I will not back down when someone starts ridiculing me, and especially using the who are they line, which is what you get from your normie imbecile friends to try and fuck you up when you're having trying to explain things to them. And I was explaining last night, and I mentioned it, really smart people, particularly this one guy that I worked for, really nice guy, him and his wonderful girlfriend, wife. He was sitting there, executive for Coca-Cola, and I'm talking about quite high up in Australia in the marketing division, smart guy, well-traveled, etc. And I started trying to explain to him about social credit and about crossing roads and you're going to lose points. This is happening. It's a real thing. It's not my weird theory. It is happening. And he said to me, where did you hear that from? You know, he's from Melbourne, which means he's a brain dead sports fan, which is literally the fact. Melbourne people are, majority of them, easily baffled because they spent so much time staring at their screens watching sport. And the way he said, he looked at me like, where did you hear that from? And I've been reading about technocracy for 40 something years, that it's coming, energy based, credit based, social credits, that you'll be controlled by your behavior. This is happening. We can see it happening. I've been talking about it ad nauseum, not ab nauseum, but last night I got ab nauseum. I got fucking sick of being ridiculed. And I fucking gave it. I'm sure you'll be able to listen to it. And he was, you know, half the time he'd suddenly start agreeing with me because I said, this is feeding him with the vaccine. Have you no memory of 5-6 years ago, 2020, when we went into what was the global tyranny that no one on this planet has ever seen the like of globally? Yeah, they've had it in China, had it in, you know, back in the old days in England, I guess. I'd like to talk about that too. England, all those beautiful little kingdoms that they would have had back in the day. I would say a guarantee that 100 years War of the Roses, we need to look into that. And that's, I guarantee you, the roses, meat feeds into Rosicrucians. And that was when they were getting rid of little tiny towns, forcing them into bigger ones, destroying old kingdoms and whatever. It went for 100 years, the 100-year war. War of the Roses. Now, when I say War of the Roses, people are like, oh, yeah, that's a great movie with, what's his name? I can't remember his name, but I was going to say Chuck Connors, but no, the son of Kirk Douglas, Michael Douglas movie. Really good movie, The War of the Roses. It also had Danny DeVito in it. Hilarious movie. But no, we're talking about the War of the Roses, the 100-year civil war that England went through 300 or 400 years ago. I will guarantee you now that was where they were doing the civil, there was a civil war where they were getting rid of certain little fiefdoms, I call them. And you see them when they do these archaeological shows using drone footage. You can see these beautiful hills and mountains, they had these roads and footpaths coming from them, or you can see the shape of them, the grass has grown over the top of them. There would have been a little kingdom there, just like in Monty Python. You know, what the curtains? Not the curtains, lad. That scene, you know, with they're marrying, each kingdom was trying to marry the sons off to another kingdom to get more, you know, they were building their house out of the, on swamp. That was a very funny scene of in the Holy Grail. The curtains, that one. There would have been amazing kingdoms and everything all through England. But no, they had a huge, big psychological civil war. They call it the War of the Roses. That they slowly would have just destroyed, poisoned, and, you know, just used, what's his name, that Italian, what's his name? This duplicitousness and slowly, Fabian-like. Like, we've got 100 or 250 Fabians now in the Australian government. Slow and steady wins the race. These guys, they've got 100 years minimum that they'll use to get their way. And we're seeing it now. Slowly, we can switch this off, switch the power off, switch your fuel off. They'll get what they want. They'll get people out of little regional towns and into the big cities, into these great big ugly fucking angle of sorrow designed buildings that are going up left, right, and center that are actually being designed also to burn down really easily when they need to get rid of you. And I guarantee you now they're going to use the batteries, the car batteries and all these Teslas, et cetera. I reckon they've got a built-in obsolescence that is going to go up in flames at a certain time and burn all these buildings down that they're building for all these useless eaters that they're feeding into the cities where they're going to get rid of them all in that same area. Yes. Conspiracy theory, yes. And then to top it off, I've also been going on, like, I listened to what's the name? Last week I listened to one of the very few audio chats I've listened to for a long time, and there was a lot of, you know, argument and unnecessary noise from, as usual, Greg Shantz, who seems to have no concept of getting a decent mic and not urinating. Well, now we've all done it, but not as consistent as him. Just constant bad noise. But anyway, Joel's, is it ex? Possibly his wife. She was there and she got really upset because someone started reading comments on the comment section. And I said, these people that will not come on and talk and just leave a random comment are beyond, are beneath you. And she got really upset and left the platform. Who's that? Hopefully it's someone that's, Alpha, hey, I was going to say, if it's fake, I'll just fuck off. But no, it's only because...
What a welcome. What a welcome. Morning, Rick.
How are you, Martha? Good to see your... what is that? I can't see that picture. I'm looking.
It is a classic London food, peasant food, of pie, mash, and parsley sauce.
You know, I just saw hilarious. Steve Jones is so funny. Hang on, you're listening to Be Told. Boom.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Good. Good evening, you're listening to Be Told episode. I think it's 67, 68, but whatever. Martha, how are you? June the 7th, 2026. How are you, Martha?
Good.
Anyway, back to Pete, that food Steve Jones has been going on about since he had his radio show. Someone flew over, and I think it was probably Billy Idol with a lot of money, fresh from, his favourite London pea pie and whatever. Because apparently you cannot replicate that pea sauce.
No.
Really, it's something in it. I don't know what the recipe is, but it's something really special.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a London thing, and it's very, not a lot many people like it. It's very... bit like Marmite, you either like it or you hate it, and
they
look at that green sauce and they think, "Oh, I don't like the look of that." But it's delicious.
I will guarantee you, I would love it. I will guarantee without even having it. Yeah,
and it's it's a peasant food of the dockers in London.
Yeah.
And all those restaurants are all gone now, and there was restaurants in all over London.
I shared from Facebook. So I'm on that BBC archive thing. I shared that thing about the jellied eel restaurant.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
1975. It was busy then, but now it's gone. They're all gone.
Yeah. They're literally just because there's no white Londoners in London anymore, so they don't eat it. It's as simple as that.
Are there winkle pickers still picking winkles?
You get winkles and seafood and jelly deals and things like that. So it's a very white
cultural.
London cultural thing, which is sadly dying out a little bit, but it's coming back. It will come back, no doubt.
It has to. And I was saying, I watched Steve Jones. He looks like a homeless. He's got his shirt off, and it says, "No sodding rain's going to stop me getting me pea pie and mash." And he's coming out of this pea pie and mash place with his shirt off, staggering down the road. he looks like an old homeless person now, but he's so funny. I'm a big fan of Steve Jones.
I think he's pretty genuine, I think.
Well, don't you notice this thing? One thing I've noticed, the older all these rock stars get, the more that they kind of become their old selves. Like, you listen to the Black Sabbath guys talking, you'd swear to God they had not been living in California for the last 50 years. They sound like they've just come out of a little corner shop in Birmingham, and same with the Londoners, the old rock stars. They, as you age, you crave your childhood and your original person comes back again.
Yeah, so, I suppose it's all been lost, isn't it? It's all being watered down and being lost a little bit and all being mashed into all different kind of things. You kind of reflect back on it, I suppose.
I'm just trying to look at this. I've just bought a new $20. I'm spending a lot of money on headphones. Can I tell you, I would spend at least $1,000 a year on cheap headphones. What a fuckwit.
False economy. I'll do the same.
It's a false economy. It's like, what kind of idiot would do that? Anyway, good to hear you. And I haven't spoken to you for a long time. It's been six weeks, I think. Is it 6 weeks?
Yeah, something like that. We've missed
each other. Have you done any more PCR?
No, I haven't. It's gone a bit quiet. I think it's summertime, isn't it? Everyone's busy. I'm sure we'll get back to that at some point. We've got something to talk about.
Anyway, so now tell me, how's Scotland, or are you on holiday for summer?
The summer has been below average. No, it's been awful. Terrible up here. Oh. Yeah, it's been bad. We had 2 or 3 days of 20 degrees weather when, it was disaster. It was a heat wave.
everyone's going to die.
I think they call it a threat to life. Call it a threat to life warning or something like that. It's 22 degrees.
You're not joking. I saw it. The warning. You need to drink water. Yeah. Take an umbrella to cover.
Yeah,
the
don't
sun.
Go out in the sun. It's ridiculous. So, other than that, it's been grey and wet and just a bit well below average. It hasn't been nice at all. The sun's hardly been out. I don't know if it's like where you are. You're coming into your winter now, or your autumn.
No, it's winter, but I could go and sunbathe right now. During the day. But it's cool. It's about 10 degrees at night time, and probably going down to a little bit less than that when it gets cold. It's definitely cold. But I live in a kind of a country or I can hear cows mooing top of the area. Mm. But there's farms not far from me. And it's much colder. If I lived in right by the beach, it's quite pleasant, you know, most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But our weather's spectacular at the moment after all this rain that we
had. Sure it is. Yeah, it's just been grey here and just 13 degrees pretty much every day, you know, a little bit of sun, and it's just been consistent.
That's your summer.
That's the summer, yeah. And it's June, you know, in June's here. And we're going to Croatia in a couple of weeks, which is our usual summer holiday. So we'll get some sun there, but that'd be about it probably. So, which is a bit of a shame. But hey,
nice cheap beers.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's lovely for us. So, but other than that, not a lot really. It's just been usual shite, really. We got this Henry Novak thing. Yeah. Bubbling around at the moment.
Thank you for mentioning that. So yeah. I saw the story, but I never looked into it. And then I looked at it because this is a big story now. It's come back again. So what I did is just looked at the name and it's pronounced Novak in Polish, but it's Nowak if you look at it. I reversed the word and Googled it. And it comes up with this huge, big thing about man. There's a lot of stuff in Nowak, the reverse of that name. And then I looked at the digits on the story. It's very implausible. But this happened in New Zealand, the exact same story about a young Sikh guy stabbing a white New Zealander. And so they've used the story before. Oh, yeah, this is going back 20 years because we've got a lot of Sikhs in New Zealand.
This story's come from nowhere. It's supposed to have happened 6 months ago. So why wasn't it reported in December when it was supposed to have happened? It's been kept quiet for 6 months, and all of a sudden it's everywhere. It's nonsense. It's made up.
It's everywhere. Shit. And not only that, the American, like I was one of the, I think Resmut Jeff has shared me the Jay Burden show. He's a American podcast.
Yeah, I know him. Yeah,
he did it. He had a Scottish guy that's apparently a big podcast. I forget his name. Who's broken it all down and it's all bad. Da 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 da. And now I can tell that this is a psyop, just by the fact that it's got a lot of potential to start this. And we're just talking about. I was just talking about the English War of the Roses, Civil War, 100-year war. Which I think we should be looking right into, and I have never, but I'm just suspecting that they're using the word roses. It's Rosicrucian,
yes,
code. And I'm a big because I grew up always wanting to go to England. It was just in my psyche. You know, we grew up with being in New Zealand. We're all kind of we all came from England or Scotland or Ireland originally, and so. There was a kind of this inward homesickness that we had for England. All our TV came from there and stuff like that. And then I started looking at those shows of Baldrick's shows.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
And I started looking, and I'm very interesting that history. They're going and uncovering old historic areas. And digging them up and stuff. And I was looking at the footage that they had back then. It would have been helicopter footage. Now it'd be drone. Of this, you drive through England, it's completely empty apart from the cities. But when you look at the actual, from the top, you can see roadways that have been covered in grass, going up mountains and things like that, that would have been a kingdom or a community or a town or a village. That were just completely removed, and Rothschild Cornwalls would have had a lot to do with that late, pre the Industrial Revolution. But prior to that, it would have been the War of the Roses, the 100-year Civil War, allegedly, which I'm telling you would have been just getting rid of little tiny independent self-feeding towns that didn't need the bigger towns. So,
Nothing new under the sun, is it? I mean, it's same as with the Highland clearances. Yeah, the Highland clearances in Scotland is the same.
And funny enough, where you're going for your holidays, the exact same thing happened there with the Clinton administration, causing that mock civil war in Yugoslavia, which I remember extraordinarily well. And I actually knew a couple of Yugoslavian guys that were having to go back and join the army. or, you know, they were from Split. Have you been to Split? Yeah. Great name.
No, but it's Croatia. Split is in Croatia. Yeah. Well, it's part of Yugoslavia. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that war was, yeah. I mean, you speak to people over there now and, you know, they were conscripted into the army. So it's very, very real. There's a good documentary about that on YouTube, actually, which I started watching. It's really interesting. Yeah, it's amazing how the US run that war completely, started it. If you want war, inverted commas, they run that. It was unbelievable what they was doing to the country.
One of my, again, he's all over the place now. Not all over the place, but he's gone very, very much. Trump. He's a big Trump fan. Mm. And he lived there. See, he was married or went out with a Yugoslavian girl and lived there for 2 years, just after the supposed war of Yugoslavia, the civil war. And he said the same thing. What they were doing was removing villages that had cows, pigs and everything. They were nothing to do. They were completely independent. They didn't need trucks to come and bring their food because they were completely independent. That war removed those little tiny towns. Yeah. So it was a complete and utter, So it's moving into the technocracy, which is why I got really pissed off last night when, you know, this Mr. Fakeholder said, what are you scared of? You know, AI and technocracy, you know, you're being scared. And it's like, what? It's like, it's not scared. It's like, we just don't want to go into it. And then, you have to listen to that show because I fucking got really pissed off last night, let me tell you. Mm. I didn't leave, but I'm not going to. It was just God himself got Joel's last plug plugged in, and it just happened this morning. I looked at my thing and, oh, my God, he's back again. And Truth Meets is alive. It's alive!
It's the thin end of the wedge, isn't it? All this. Well, they're talking about building a data center now near me.
They're not building any at the moment near me, but I just saw that story about China allegedly building data centers underwater, and I just looked at it and went, "This is just the biggest load of fucking bullshit ever." They're going to build those data centers right next to your town, next to your whatever. China is going to pretend to be green and build them under the sea. Yeah. No one's going to put an electronic database under the water. Let me just tell you
James Bond crap. But they're talking about it over here. They've started planning permission. Apparently, it takes the energy to run it of. It will be in almost 75% of the total homes in Scotland to run one data center.
That doesn't
sound good to me.
No, and you're going to have to pay. They're going to take it out of the as usual, the local civilians that live in the area. We're going to have to pay for this.
Yeah, of course.
There's a lot of fight back, but of course, I was on the wrong platform yesterday. Oh, it's just, you know, it's a beat up story. They're making it up. No, they're not. This data shit, and I just by coincidence been, I just come back from the grocery store before I went on the show, and I had AI. I was scanning some food and stuff like that, and these new – because there was no one in there. There was no human. They had this one poor chick. Where I live is predominantly old people, and we don't like this having to check our own stuff out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're laying off the staff, so they're making you go into the self-checkout. And as I was doing it, I scanned one thing the wrong way, and this doo-doo-doo alarm came up. And this chick had to come over, and then all of a sudden I get, there's the back of my head, and I'm moving something that I, you know, into the wrong area and put it, because I had the bags on the wrong side. Mm. Now, if there wasn't a real person there, that message would have gone through AI and to watch this guy, he's up to no good. She came over and said, I'm sorry, I can see what you did, and fixed it. But if there was no real person there and the AI was running it, I would have been looked at as being
they video you.
They got your face and the back of your head, and actually that comes up on the screen. You moving that one item to the wrong side of the thing that, and I'm like going, you know, I've already been pissed off about that. I'm working the long weekend. I should be sunbathing, you know, but no, I'm working. And when I heard this, what are you afraid of? Who are they? Bullshit from him and that fuckwit from Ohio, Linda. That, you know, this sounds like a fair porn show. I was like that was, I just lost it. And that I lost all, whatever I had left is fucking gone off that platform. I'm not going to leave it, but,
it just changes your opinion.
Just to be ridiculed for having an opinion that, which I've been getting ridiculed for at least 40, I would say 40 something years for being but even before that, when I was in the UFOs, UFOs, used to get laughed at for believing in UFOs. Now you can almost become a famous politician for talking about them. And you can, like Laura Eisenhower and people like that, saying the most ludicrous things. If you deny UFOs now, things are just, the way things go in 40-year increments, if you deny UFOs now, you're looked at as being a lunatic. Literally. There's got to be life in space. And if you say there's no such thing as moon landings and space travel, you're really crazy.
We've got the new film. We've got the new Spielberg film coming out, haven't we, about the aliens soon. So that's...
Yeah. Oh, I went through the... Good timing. So he's... What a coincidence, though. Disclosure. Why would they right now have a Spielberg movie coming out just as Donald Trump and all these idiots out there like Laura Eisenhower? Have you heard, I shared it onto the Fakeologist stream notes last night, the latest podcast from what's his name? Ryan Gable's The Secret Teachings.
Oh yeah, I listened to that. Yeah, Secret Teachings.
Listen, just do yourself a favor and listen to his one called about the giant humanoid reptoids or something or other. It's about these are real serious people and politicians and everything that are talking about their experiences with these little aliens and stuff like that, which I went through. I listened to these people talking in the 70s. Now they're doing it again.
Yeah.
And Ryan Gable's mocking them and just like, have a listen to this. And he plays grabs from, again, Laura Eisenhower, who's, you know, apparently secret soldier going to Mars soon, apparently.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a weird narrative, isn't it, to be bringing back.
It's coming back. So they're reusing what I heard when I was, 12 years of age, 7 foot green Venetian woman coming in, having sex with some guy. I was sitting at home and I looked out the window and a UFO landed. They had windows in it and I could see three women with huge bosoms looking at me. I floated out and I was, anally probed and had to have sex with five of them because they wanted my semen. This, I'm telling you, was literally what was being talked about in all the UFO magazines back in the day. Weird sexual fetishes.
Yeah, it's more sexual and anal, isn't it?
Always anal, and there's always a beautiful green or blue Venetian woman who's about 7 foot tall and demands these really ordinary guys to sleep with them. It's anyway, Ryan Gable plays about 10 grabs of people saying it, and he's laughing away in the back. I was literally up a ladder laughing my head off. He's quite funny. He's got a good sense of humour.
Yeah, he's quite good. He's a bit of a Jew basher, though, isn't he?
He doesn't like
big time, but he doesn't. He's pretty good.
Apart from that, what he is really, he is a pro kind of UFO person that is aware of the scam. And I became that person in 81, 82 with my best friend when we realized we have been conned royally here, that these people are just taking our money, asking us for their extraordinary subscriptions to their magazines. And I went to that UFO conference and the John Searle Foundation English woman came with a silver suit on and a fishbowl on her head and asked for donations. So she was part of the John Searle Foundation. She'd come from England. You're listening to Be Told. Boom.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com. Click
What a lovely bumper. June the 7th, 2026, be told, 60-something or other. And we're talking to Marfa. But now, this documentary on Yugoslavia, who did it and what's the name of it?
I think it's actually, it's called The Weight of Chains, and it's by a Yugoslavian chap, but I think he's actually based in Canada now. He done it in 2010. So I posted it in the show chat. It's quite long. I've watched half of it. You're gonna have to probably watch it in a few parts. It's quite in depth, and it's certainly a different view. The USA were running that from day one. Yeah. Really terrible.
Well, it's all feeds into the wag the dog too. You do realise that, you know, that whole movie came out within 3 months of the Yugoslavian war in brackets. Mm. But they were blowing up, right? So the first thing they did is blow up all the radio stations and TV stations in various areas to make sure there was no actual truth getting put out. And then they put their media over the top of it.
Mm.
Right.
Oh,
so
yes.
It's a classic
CIA operation from day one, big time.
Yep. And in Private Eye magazine, they was always making jokes about, if you're in Yugoslavia and you're hurt, don't let a Red Cross ambulance come and help you, because they're usually the British SAS pretending to be a Red Cross ambulance. That was a major gag back in the day. They said, you know, most of the ambulances, Red Cross ambulances, is actually a team of SAS demolition experts driving around. And they can probably...
In an ambulance.
Like, this is the kind of things they did. Yeah, and back in the day, the CIA also used that thing called the Green. They called them the Greenpeace. Not Greenpeace, but they were like the United States Peace Army, and they pretended to go over to areas and help out. But they were all agent. You know, well, not all of them, but they were run by the Central Intelligence Agency.
Operation Gladio, isn't it? It's been going on for years, so it's nothing.
Well, is that as well?
Same old.
Just different branches of different things, just making sure that everything's run. And, you know, they're making sure that they need to take out, what they always have to take out is communications, because communications, that's, you know, me talking to you, has to go, you know, we cannot have this kind of free talk. We're both questioning authority here.
Yes.
Those are the kind of things they take down first. And, of course, we're on a platform, not Joel's platform, but we're on Discord, which is totally run by an extraordinarily dodgy setup, you know, and it's data harvesting and whatever.
Yeah, collecting information. I posted that other video in your channel.
Fantastic.
Rick's Heavy Esoterica, the Black Sheep Surgeon. Sacred Bone and the Sacred Tone. So, as you were saying, it's all about, you know, having a voice and them stopping your voice.
That's the most important thing to do. And I've got that vibe last night as I was having a free-form conversation. That, you know, I was being ridiculed and called, I'm losing, you know, by someone that I've been doing shows for 8 years with. Big mistake, huge mistake. I cannot put up with that kind of ridicule after being ridiculed by my friends for over 40 something years, and plus probably earlier, I would say. But this is what they're doing. You're getting called a crazy conspiracy theorist on a site,
crazy conspiracy theorists. Yeah, so
it's kind of what you call a spasticocracy now when it comes to conspiracy site. And then there's Alex Jones now. You know, he does a 180 and starts blaming Jews, but it's not the Jews. It's actually the English that was running so he starts blaming the English. What he's saying is the English. He's not actually naming the people running the banks of England or the original, you know, the big boys, which I would, you know, the black nobility types, you know, that you do not ever get named, and whoever's above them.
Yes, so, you never see them in the newspapers, do you?
Jan Erik left. He left Folkologist as well. Like, he really left. He won't be. I guarantee he'll never go back there, because he's been. I think he's a bit older than me. He's been reading and going on about this for way longer than myself at a higher level. because he actually does read these books. And I mean, I skim through them. He knows his stuff. And you get ridiculed. There's no point in going back on a platform that's going to give you shit about talking about whatever you want to talk about. But here, truthmeets.com, on the right show, you can. I mean, anyone can do a show here. Anyone can do.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I mean, Joel's obviously moved, so he's been working hard behind the scenes. So well done, Joel.
I saw the photos of his setup, and I've already, again, I was just mentioning it before. I've carried some of his equipment up Rollo's driveway, like 7 or 8 years ago. There is nothing easy about the amount of plugs and things that you have to when you're running and then he's got servers that he needs to be running it. Oh my God. I just looked at it and I said, Joel.
Way above my head.
When I looked at them, I think he sent it to me on Thursday night. I just said, Joel, just take as long as you like, because I'm not ever going to be able to do something like that. No. It's just incredible. No. I have enough problem wiring up. I've got a couple of stereos in this house. And there's one I want to just change the amp over to make because it's got a better Bluetooth thing on it. Do you think I've got the capacity to set that up at the moment? No, I have to set a whole day away. What Joel showed me in that photo was like 1,000 times worse than what I've got. It's just incredible. Yes. So well done, Joel.
Professional studio, isn't it? Yeah, well done to him. That's well good work. So
we can talk, and we're on the show. So when the bumpers come, we can talk in between them. No one's going to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to hear that.
Speaking of Rollo, where is he? What's happening? Is he?
Yeah, I haven't even gone quiet. He's sick, very sick, and
right.
I'm quite concerned. Yeah, when I say very sick, I mean really sick.
So,
I don't know, but he's been bleeding. I don't know, if you listen to any of the shows, you'll hear his. You know, he was throwing up blood and urinating blood years ago. You know what I mean? So that's a kidney and liver and things like that. And you know that he's been abusing his liver like no one else that I know. Lemmy, possibly. I think Lemmy's healthier. Rollo outdrank Lemmy for sure, guaranteed. Didn't do the amount of speed that Lemmy did to help him drink that amount of alcohol. But he's not well, but he's the kind of person that he will not, like, I've rung him, he won't answer the phone. I message him, he won't answer the messages. So when he's sick, and I understand that, he's privately recuperating. Mm. And hopefully that thing, and I mentioned this before, not obviously recorded on this site, but there is a thing that your body will heal itself if you let it.
Stop using your shocks to the system.
I just listened to the last Rick and Rollo we did, which was really good. I actually quite enjoyed it. I hadn't heard it before, apart from being on there speaking. But because the site's been down, I couldn't listen to it. But he sounded so fantastic, but he was drunk. And when you're drinking, it masks a lot of pain and things like that. And then the next day, I think he probably just went into relapse of, you know, kidney, liver, etc. issues. And the thing is, Christy's in Spain for 6 weeks, she's traveling through the entirety of Spain. No, Italy, and Spain possibly. Anyway, she's having a big European trip, so she's not even in Australia. So I can't ring her to ask her how he is. He won't answer my calls. So there's just a quandary here that hopefully his incredible constitution will.
I'm sorry. Well, if he does listen to this, get well, Rollo.
I don't know if he would. I don't know if he would, but he's got a whole lot of stuff to catch up on if he ever gets released.
Yeah.
But everyone says the same thing. He's got a lot of fans out there, and I was listening back to the show. It's just so good to have a show like. Rick, on the Rick and Rollo show, we were just talking about anything and bantering. Mm. And he knows, like, his memory of, you know, random TV shows and movies and stuff, it's just spotless, you know, and actors' names and like everything about Doctor Who, everything about even South Park, you know, like episode numbers. He's got total recall when he's in his right space. So to have that conversation for me, who loves that kind of conversation, is just, it's just to lose that would be just tragic. So I'm hoping
he'll get better. Yeah. I was thinking the other day, Moon Harvest. Is it, have you spoken to him?
Do you remember Moon Harvest? He's doing really well. Like he's not making coffee anymore. He's working for another guy. He's doing mowing lawns and kind of landscaping work. And he looked fantastic. He stopped smoking because he used to smoke a lot. And, I think he just has a few beers now and everything. He looked fantastic, but he's not on these platforms. So
no, pretty well. He looks so good.
I would, and sounds so good. Yeah, there's definitely a there. But that, I'm thick skinned and I can work. I wouldn't say thick skinned, but I've been dealing with this stuff for years, so it's easy for me. But some people, it gets too much, particularly the females. I really do not urge any female to get stuck into this doom stuff that's going on at the moment. It's just bad for you, and I don't think they can mentally cope with it in a lot of ways. To, you know, going into these chicks that get into really heavily into this satanic ritual abuse, and then they end up going mad and shooting themselves or hanging themselves or whatever. It's like, just stay away from it. It's not, a lot of it's just fake. And that's what I was saying about that movie, Mother Mary, that's just been released with, it's full of satanic imagery. It's literally, it's like a Black Mirror episode, but it's got, Anne Hathaway playing a Madonna-like rock star or Lady Gaga-like rock star. I think it's more Madonna, though. And it just sounds – I just looked up the – what I used to do because, you know, with kids and stuff, I'd look up the adult – the children's – it was kind of parental advisory site, and they'd tell you what kind of imagery was in here, what kind of language and stuff, and to look at movies that we possibly were going to go and see. This one has got no nudity or anything like that, but it is really heavy imagery, including psychic imagery of letters coming up and words, phrases as you're watching the movie.
It's not healthy to watch that kind of stuff.
And these people that sit there, like Jay Dyer, his wife, what's his name, Sean McCann. They sit there and watch these movies and analyze them, but it's going, it's being etched into their brains. It cannot be good for you. Though I can probably cope with it, but I just think all these women that get, all of a sudden they become conspiracy theorists and want to watch all this SRA shit and evil, you know, get into the Epstein files and look, eating babies and, come on.
It's silly, isn't it? It's just almost like an MK Ultra kind of thing, isn't it? Just different.
It is. That's it. They're making you watch evil, and it is imprinting on your subconscious. You may not realize it, but the more
it goes in, it's like orange, isn't it?
Well, that's 100%. That's a really good analogy, actually. If someone like me is saying that, because I used to like watching those things, but I'm suddenly realized, the image, I know last one I watched, so I thought, this is just bad. And it was that Dr. Sleep, you know, with Ewan McGregor playing the sequel to Shining. that had scenes in it that were just there to traumatize you. Oh my God, they're drinking, they're eating the blood, they're, you know, they're harvesting bodies for And if you dwell and live watching this evil, it's going to affect you in your dreams, not your reality possibly, but your subconscious, and that's the one that they're targeting. 100. This is all young.
To separate you from normality, isn't it? And being around people, you kind of go into your shell a little bit, I suppose.
There are people that have got careers now. Yeah. Well, look at William Ramsey and the Utter and all those guys. Utter, I can believe he can watch it and it bounces off him. But William Ramsey's like going, you know, he's watching, reading all these, and it's very important to know some of the stuff, but because it's particularly the artwork stuff. Now, that's something I have noticed my own personal self for a long time, going to, big rich people's houses, particularly arty types that are into art and stuff like that. All of a sudden, I'll notice making some noise. I'll notice a art or a amazing book on photography or whatever on their coffee table, and I start looking through it and I go, "What the fuck?" Who would put that on their wall? Particularly the Henson guy, not Jim Henson, but he's an Australian photographer, surname Henson. I've seen books, and these books would be probably $500 or $600 to buy photography books on Henson's stuff. And I remember when he got into the controversy, because he's always using underage or pubescent kids as a subject. And I remember saying to this friend of mine who sadly he was the one that would call me a conspiracy theorist, who's now dead, who died very quickly of a really aggressive lung cancer, even though he didn't smoke. He said to me, "Oh, no, this is art, and it's showing a," because I said, "Why would you go and see that exhibition for?" And he goes, "Oh, because it's art. It's, that's the way he explained it to me." The photos on these Henson's photographs are just evil. And I guarantee you that those Podesta brothers and all those collectors of the stuff, and that's why there is a lot of there's in that, what they label Pizzagate. As soon as you see the word gate, they were controlling it. They're not joking about that, those groups of people that were in there, their art world, the stuff they were buying and what they hang on their walls. These people are into the darkest shit you've ever seen in your life. And we've got this thing in Tasmania called Dark Mofo at this art gallery, modern art gallery, the Modern Mona, the Tasmanian Modern Art Gallery, which is literally a satanic festival every year that they have. All these weird rituals and lighting. And so it exists. There are people that are into buying photos and of horrific nature and paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for them. So it's a real thing. But if you're dwelling on it and looking at these photos, it's going into you, looking at it, that's getting etched into your memory. Yeah. And it's desensitizing you.
Yeah, it's a psychological operation, isn't it? As I say, it's MKUltra, it's money laundering, and it's a psyop all rolled into one.
It's the perfect
scenario.
And it's also affecting all these people that are going, look, I'm a Christian, I've got to look into this evil imagery, and all of a sudden they start looking into that evil imagery, and they're actually watching it, and it's getting etched into their subconscious.
All psyops are the same. I hate that. Oh, we'll go down the rabbit hole. I hate that saying. And you're down there. You should be digging yourself out of the rabbit hole, not going into the rabbit hole.
So I stopped watching horror movies a long time ago because I know that that is bad for you particularly Exorcist. If you're a real high level and you're really aware and awake, you can just sit there analysing the imagery. But most people don't. They just watch it, and it gets etched into their subconscious. Yeah. And even the sounds, particularly the Exorcist, that is one movie I have never watched in its entirety because I was aware of that they use sound and imagery and high flash flicker rates to put things into your head, a la Clockwork Orange. And it came out 4 years later.
It does stick with you. Yeah. Incidentally, I used to live. Do you know where they filmed that Clockwork Orange? I live very close to there. That was in
really.
That's a housing estate where we used to live. Yeah.
Down by the water too. Because I'm walking around the water.
And by the Thames.
And now I've visited. You're listening to Be Told.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The Art of Conversation.
You're listening to Be Told, episode 68-ish, whatever. And Martha and I are talking about whatever we want to talk about, and no one's going to ridicule anyone on this platform, or maybe on this platform, on this show. It's all free talking and whatever we want to talk about, and no one's going to call anyone a loony or losing their shit because of one comment, guaranteed. Anyway, yeah, back to London. Now, I went there because I was quite, because I'm a Milligan, as much as I'm into Python, I'm also a Spike Milligan fan. And he grew up in Bexley by the sea, but he also spent a lot of time in London and, back in the day. And I love his war. I don't know if you've read them, but I highly recommend
them. Yeah, I wish
I'd read his book. They are so good. And that's your best. It's like a much more realistic way of looking at World War II is Spike Milligan's war journals, which he wrote four or five. And I read them all. And the last one, Where All the Bullets Gone, is absolutely fantastic. That is a better history of growing up. You know, he came from India. He was living in wherever he was, in Lewisham.
He was near me.
So all the imagery in those books, which I read many years ago, when I went to London, I went to that area and looked around, and a lot of old buildings, and, you know, it was quite run down. Back then,
it'd be gentrified now, wouldn't it? No, that part of London's pretty poor, really. Well, it's 50-50s, you know, obviously a lot of immigrants and a lot of million-pound houses, so, you know, work that out. But, yeah.
Yeah, but that, the Thames fascinated me because I looked at it, what's his name? I just mentioned him before, the from Norway. Jan Erik was saying that it was originally called the Isis. It was the Isis River. I didn't know that. Did you know that? I had no idea.
I think I may have come across it, but yeah, it rang a bell when he mentioned it. And I said before, because we've got Cleopatra's Needle on the Thames as well. the obelisk.
I went to the Serpentine Gallery near the amazing Albert Memorial, that park or whatever. I made sure I did when I was in London. I went to these areas and I kind of soaked it in because I'd love to go back there, even though it's dodgy. But just when you go there with a full head of knowledge, which I did when I was 36 or 37. It was in 2023, which is now 23 years ago. And I made sure, though, everything I did, but I met this girl over there, and she loved listening to my stuff, and I was like, this is fantastic, you know. It was just, I traveled around a bit. We went to, I did not bother with Stonehenge, but we went to Bath and Glastonbury and checked all that areas out. And she used to love listening, because I was telling her stuff. She grew up in these areas. She had no idea. It's like, but I knew, you know, see that over there, pointing to the, you know, that particular tour, or, you know, these incredible mounds everywhere as you're driving along towards Bath. But everywhere, like, just like in America, we've got mounds that they go on about that you don't often hear people talking about it, but they are very interesting.
But this stuff isn't taught. You don't learn this stuff in school. I don't teach this stuff in school.
And that's
and there's a reason for that.
There's a big reason for that. But I've you know, from a very early age, been into the crop circles, which I still am fascinated by. There is a there with crop circles. They are not made by two old blokes with a wheelbarrow and a whole lot of rope stomping over. But that literally was the excuse. I said, sorry, we found out that these things have been made by, you know, Ken and Les
from the pub. They come out of the pub on a Friday night and go and make some crop circles. It'd take about 2 weeks to make a crop circle that big.
It would take a month for some of them.
Yeah, full-time work.
These are, to me, signs and wonders. that you see in the in the Bible. There'll be signs and wonders because the geometric patterns of some of them. And I went up to the Glastonbury Tor, the tower, looked down upon these fields. I never saw any crop circles, but I was just like, it was just, I loved every moment of it. And I, because I could talk about it, and we went to a couple of pubs, these beautiful old thatched, roofed pubs that are still, I guess are still there. They've probably been turned into Witherspoons. Are they?
Probably, or bingo hall or something, or a mosque. A lot of pubs have been turned into mosques, believe it or not, and churches.
Now, can I just say this? In Sydney, the winter of Sydney, and then Rollo lived in this area too, it's now completely Muslim run. There was pubs that were threatened. They were getting people standing at the front threatening the locals, you know, dressed in their hijabs and, you know, rubbish bin lid, you know, rubbish bags over their head, screaming at locals for drinking in pubs. That went on, that was about 15 years ago, so it's probably even worse now. And
before I go, I just want to tell you a quick story. My cousin lives down in the West Country, not far from where you were, and it's all very predominantly kind of white indigenous people, and a mosque moved in, and then on one Friday when they was doing their prayers, you know, they take their shoes off to pray. Somebody went round and stole all the all their right shoes and just left their shoes. So that tells you what they thought about it.
That's what I call activism.
Yes, right. That's so their left shoe on. They're probably walking around in circles looking for their right shoe. But there was
fantastic.
But, I'm gonna go in 2 minutes. That was good catching up.
Yeah, thanks, Martha, for turning up. You're always welcome. You don't have any.
We'll do it again. And don't forget now. The World Cup kicks off in a week's time. All PSYOPs are cancelled for 4 weeks for the World Cup.
And you know why I know this? Because my son, who's he's in another room, not far from away. He is, as I am into conspiracy theories, he's into sport.
Is he excited? Yeah.
Oh yeah, and he's got his favourite teams, and I know lots of expat English that are very, very excited. I remember.
Oh yeah.
Like in Australia, because we've got so many English over here, when the World Cup goes on, everything stops for them. It's just they're not going to go to work. Particularly the Manchester crew, they are very much so you get all these blokes turning up, you know, blind drunk, coming into pubs, screaming and carrying on about whatever the game was. It's huge over here. This is big, not as big as we be the same maybe.
Scotland have qualified for the World Cup for the first time in 28 years. So it's a big deal up here, to be fair. And the little country of Scotland will be playing in the World Cup.
The Australian Socceroos they said that they're definitely going to make it to the playoffs. By that convinced.
Yeah.
Well,
possibly. I don't know, but anyway, I'll just say all wars, all psyops, all fake viruses will be cancelled for 4 weeks of football, and then we'll be back to it after that. So we can put our feet up for a couple of weeks.
I'm going to actually agree with you 100%, Martha, that when sport is the most important thing to keep people docile. It's bread and circuses.
Bread and circuses. Yeah, he's 100%, and it's the ultimate bread and circuses for a few weeks, and then who knows what will happen afterwards? I mean, they might bring back the hantavirus crap or the Ebola crap, because you've got a lot of people traveling around the country, around the globe, America.
Before you go, and thanks to software in Melbourne, I think she is. She sent me. She's a regular contactor and listens to the show. She, what did I suddenly bring her up? What was she sent me? So this is how bad I am with when I suddenly lose my track and I suddenly look to my cat staring at me. She sent me the Melissa Watts thing on the Andrew Wakefield. Now that is a must listen to with that. I think she's a Geordie woman. Her son was part of the Andrew Wakefield.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yes.
Is it good?
She said, that guy is just as bad. He's up there with Bill Gates. Fauci, Bill Gates, yep. What a disgrace. you must listen to that show. She said this is one of the most important shows, and I totally agree. I listened to it this morning. Okay, first of all, I was going, she sounds like it's really hard for a Geordie to sound intelligent because, you know, their language, it's not the most. But listen, her story about what her son went through, it's just a horror story.
Is that Paul Aitken with the MMR study?
Yeah.
Is that the one? Oh, Andrew Wakefield. Yeah. Okay, I'll listen to that. Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. I was just, because Melissa she is a real sharp woman. There is no doubt about that. And she just fucking, and she got it back up too when listened to the story because it's exposed him for just setting, there were kids being set up and having their genomes, whatever they were doing with their genomes, but they were being used for experiments. And his Wakefield was basically saying, yeah, some vaccinations are bad, but this one's a really good one. He was a complete traitor.
100%. Controlled opposition, I assume.
Oh, the highest magnitude. And I love Melissa gets angry and really starts boom, boom, boom. I like that. I love people when they get their back up and they start going, you know, bang, 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 you know.
Yeah.
And saying, well, Alan Watt used to be, you know, do yourself a favor, have a listen to that show. I'm going to send her a message, actually. I'll be sending her a message tonight saying 15 out of 10.
Yeah.
Great.
Actually, before I go again, I listened to a good one with Jerry Marzinski. You know, Jerry Marzinski, the one about schizophrenics. I think that's really, I find that fascinating. Now,
Can you share it? Because I haven't heard him for a while.
Yeah, it's very good. Sort of mental illness and schizophrenia has affected me a little bit because my ex-partner, her father had schizophrenia.
It's a serious thing.
Really interesting. It's a terrible thing, but I love Jerry Marzinski. I think he's really genuine. I'll share it. It's really good chat. It's really good.
I'm a Jerry Marzinski chat groupie. If he's talking, I'm listening.
All right, I'll share that. But that's it. I'm going to go now. So enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be back on Tuesday, I would say.
All right. So if you're around. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, see you later.
Thanks, Martha. 10
see
out of 10.
See ya.
No, 15
bye-bye.
Out of 10.
Bye-bye. Thanks, thank you. Martha. Very kind of you. And to you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That was Martha from Scotland via Lewisham or near Lewisham in London. An area which I actually visited, and I just loved walking around London. I found that London was incredibly grey. All the buildings were all white, kind of this white grey look about them. I totally felt, I love walking and I love looking at old, interesting buildings. It was fabulous, and I want to go back there. Can someone send me $8 million? That's all I'm asking for. No, I don't even need that. $20,000. I'm going to go and I'll do a study tour of London. I'm joking. I will never beg for money online like a lot of other people do. Sending a donation to Joel's setup, no problem whatsoever. As far as me, I'm prepared to go and work on my it's a long weekend this weekend, and I'm painting a office for another little Chinese woman. You paint so slow. You tell me only this much. You know, not quite, but they're up there. You can do this. Paint extra, extra, extra. Yeah, oh dear. But anyway, it's good money. And it's not good money, but I'm making the right money. Can't complain. I will complain, though. I'm being worked quite hard, I'll just say that. But anyway, Be Told, episode number 60-ish, 68-ish. As for Roller, I am a person that understands people's privacy, and I will not harass someone or ask, you know, like only Joel was under the pump moving and setting up stuff. At no stage did I ever, actually I did once say, how's it going? A couple of times, but I'm never going to be the guy that goes, can you hurry up or do this? You know, no. Anyway, what was I listening to last week? It was Joel's wife's name. Anyway, she got really upset about a comment that someone, Greg Shantz, read out a comment about her. And I was like, why would you even read? Look, I cannot stand people are not prepared to talk online and come and speak to you to your face. And she got really upset. She's a very sensitive character. She's Aries. Now, I would have found them to be the least sensitive people on the planet to me. I'm a very starist person. But she kind of left the platform, and I said to Susie, I said, oh, no, I got a message from the software again. He said, can you please let her know that there are a lot of people that love listening to her and I'm one of them? And I said, well, I'm going to send her a message, and which I did, because I like listening to her as well. She has just got such a powerful voice for a tiny person. I think she's about 3 foot tall. She has to wear special boots to get into cars. Joke. No, she's only a little thing, but she has got such a powerful personality. And it's just fascinating. Is this making noises? I hope it isn't. That she would get so upset over a comment, but I understand that because when, what's her name? Linda Curtis, really and truly, I feel sorry for her really because she can't really come up with her own stuff. She has to get it all off IPS. But she wants to learn and she wants to know things, but she will put a comment that, what are you being fearful of? And she gets that straight off Tim Osman, pseudonym. Jacob is his real name, which I love that name, fantastic name. Big fan of the name. But fearful, and people, are you scared of chemtrails? You're scared? No. We are watching life change as it will never, ever be seen ever globally as it's going to change, and it is changing. And when you're like me and you've been around and you've listened and been ridiculed and blah, 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 you do not expect to hear someone saying, this sounds like fear porn site when we're just discussing the simple thing of technocracy, which is coming, whether you believe it or not. And if you're from a hillbilly from Ohio and that you're, you know, sitting in your garden doing your, picking your whatever, you've never traveled overseas, I guarantee that girl has never been to Asia or to China or to Russia or to Vietnam to see what the Americans did to that country. And she's getting all information from a guy that is extremely dubious of the highest magnitude. And that's, you know, and he does have some, I used to enjoy his show. I just completely stopped listening to it. And I'm not going to listen to it again because I suddenly realized how much time wasting is involved with these shows. Literally wasting your time arguing about an event that's never going to happen, or it may well happen, but if it does, it's beyond your control. All you have to understand is that we're going to go into a real, real, real food shortage technocracy coming, guaranteed. And if someone's telling you something that's advising you about what's coming and you get called, oh, what are you so scared of and who are they? Which is exactly the kind of thing the normies use on you. Who are they that you're talking about? Who are they? Well, people like me can tell you who they are, but I do not bother if someone's stupid asking me who they are, replying, because I just know you're just there to waste my time. And fakeologist, you are wasting my time, and you have wasted my time for a long, long time. Did I leave the platform? Nah. Am I going to bother going back there? Probably. Not for a couple of weeks. I don't need to go back anymore. And if I, to be honest, I should be just getting what Heinrich, where is he? He's out there somewhere. Just go and see Joel. Let Joel tell you how to set up of this and set up that and start producing me. And I'll pay you to produce me. There you go. Coming soon, though, I have to say this, and I have to shout out to Medi, who is – Medi used to be Meditation as a Habit. That guy who did our Rick and Rollo theme and the – you're listening to Beethoven.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Is that it? Fantastic. I love the bumpers on here. Way better than the Fakeologist ones. His site is fucking cactus. Literally. But no, I'm not going to... Oh, he says dropping cans into a thing. I'm not going to leave the site, because I do enjoy... Brian Waldtimes, who's very helpful and very... He's always very... Always contact me and saying, you know, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? You know, and I do appreciate his concerns, but I just cannot put up with blatant time wasters and blatant people that are coming to waste my life and starting arguments or being contrarian. As I said to Ab last night, you're being contrarian. And he said, yes, I am contrarian. Why would you do it with someone like me who just, I've been going on about people wasting people's time and just, you know, honestly, his platform, the audio chats, they suck. There is very little good material on there. I'm sorry. Back in the day, you had so many colourful characters that have all been left. They've left the room. And now you've got a whole lot of IPS, ex-IPS people on there. Some really nice people. I'm sure, and some really stupid people, Linda, that are not ever going to be able to replicate the original days of Fakeologist or Hoaxbusters Court. We had some really, 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 really good people. I am not putting myself as one of them at all. I'm beneath most of them back in the day. People that really spend a lot of time looking into science and looking into this and that, I'm not interested in that. You've got Silas Speaks and SMJ having a kind of a interesting conversation on Truth Meets show notes. Now, these two, I'm not even going to even be, they are above my pay grade. These people know a lot more than I do. I don't get into debates on the shape of the planet. I did, and I'm going to, it won't be tonight, I'll be going soon. I read from Henry Clarence Kendall, fantastic poem, about the Kerguelen Islands on the last decent show I did on Fakeologist would be last Sunday night, where I got to talk to myself, and that is the way I'm going. I'm sorry, I do not do audio chats. I will not be on a Fakeologist audio chat with any more than two people anymore. I'll go on there and do my own stuff and just disappear. Because why would someone come in and start an argument of being contrarian? You're just wasting my life and wasting your life. Like Martha came on, we had a pleasant conversation. Anyone's welcome to come on here if they're going to have a pleasant conversation. Whatever. Anyway, that'll probably do it for me. It's 8:03, number 11. Bongversation 60 or whatever it's going to be will be next Sunday. I'll be back here. I would guarantee you Tuesday and definitely Saturday night. You'll definitely be hearing me on Saturday night. Vicky, you're welcome anytime. Emu dance anytime. Susie, et cetera. Do yourself a favour and come on to the Be Told show. The in crowd. You need to be with the in crowd. And that is the Be Told show on Fakeologist, on truthmeets.com and on fakeologist.com, but not Truth. It's not called Be Told. It should be. Anyway, thank you very much. And I'm going to go out with the in crowd. I just listened to it before by Brian Ferry. I don't like Brian Eno. I like Brian Ferry. He got more hair. No, Brian Ferry, and I think Eno's got something to do with it, production, because there's a bit of chaotic organ playing in it. Synth playing. Great song, The In Crowd by Brian Ferry, and I'll be seeing you later, and I'll definitely be back Tuesday or tomorrow night. Who's to know? But thank you very much for the... thanks, Joel. And our donut will be on its way as soon as I get to sit down with my – I might do it later. Joel, you're an amazing person. And the listeners to the Be Told show, especially the – there's all sorts of people have been contacting me from England and Ireland, America. Even an Asian, some kind of Malaysian kind of person. Fantastic. Be told. And I'll be repeating. I might even do the entire Ballad of Kerguelen Islands by Henry Kendall. What a poem that is. That is the best person that could have done it as a song would be Mark Lanigan. The only person that was more doomy than Henry Kendall. It's a fantastic poem. Anyway, thank you very much. We're going with The In Crowd by Brian Ferry. And I'll be back soon, be told. Thank you very much. Good night.